Western New York at 100.9, 103.7, 104.3, 104.9, and 105.5. This is WCJW, Warsaw, Batavia, Arcade, Avon, and Geneseo. Today's favorites and the legends. Western New York's CJ Country.
It's another CJ Country Saturday, and time to update the news for producers and farmers of CJ Country. Let's get the show on the road with Andrew McCray and Farming the Countryside.
This edition of Farming the Countryside is brought to you by Pro Farmer. Information to help farmers make profitable decisions. Go to profarmer.com. Welcome to Farming the Countryside. I'm Andrew McCray. Dalton Dildine was recognized as Top Producer's Next Generation Award winner. His farm in the Delta region of northeastern Arkansas provides opportunities to grow several crops. We discussed how he stepped into a leadership role right out of high school and how he balanced education, farming, and a progressive mindset to grow his operation into the award-winning business it is today. He's our guest on this week's Farming the Countryside, brought to you by Pro Farmer. Stay ahead of market swings with Pro Farmer. Pro Farmer's condensed style saves you time while giving you the profit-boosting information you need when making those important marketing decisions. And you'll cash in on profit opportunities with Pro Farmer's mobile sell alerts and easy-to-use mobile app. In a time of market uncertainty and with market-moving news bombarding us, now is a good time to get sound information to make good decisions in a volatile market. Find out why thousands of farmers trust Pro Farmer for market insights and news. To learn more, go to profarmer.com. Dalton Dildine was recently recognized as Top Producer's Next Generation Award winner. That distinction goes to a young farmer who is doing great things with their operation. As you'll hear in a moment, Dalton took over the farm at a very early age. And although he had grown up on the farm, he had to learn a lot quickly in order to manage a diverse cropping operation that covers a lot of acres. We talked about the challenges he's facing right now and any changes he sees on the horizon. We also discussed his farm labor situation and how he's navigating having the people and equipment he needs to get the job done. Here's our conversation. Welcome to Farming the Countryside. Dalton Dildine from Blytheville, Arkansas is my guest. And Dalton, I know that you have had some heavy weather in the last week or so. Is that right down there?
Yeah, we had some pretty strong storms, and thankfully we weathered most of them. Hopefully we're going to make it through and, you know, not have too much floating away. So,
right. Well, you are a recent award winner at the Top Producer Conference, and I wanted to talk with you about your operation a little bit. And for those that don't know, you've been around farming in a sense all your life, but at a pretty early age, you were thrust into the leadership portion of this farm, correct?
That's correct. So I graduated high school, or senior year high school, and I had been farming. I started driving a tractor when I was 12, run a grain cart, and kind of keep everything as far as harvest going. So I was 18, and my father unexpectedly passed away, and I kind of had to decide, go to college or farm or, you know, whatever, and I kind of did both. I would go to college and come home, and my college was about an hour away. So anyways, I would farm when I was off out of class or could get away and come back home. And yeah, I've been doing that. Once I graduated, I came back to the farm full time and really kind of took over. We had a guy that worked for us his whole life. This is his 51st year working for us. He kind of managed during all that time while I was away, but I've pretty well took over everything with the farm. From time to time, I mean, major purchases, major leaps and bounds, you know, it's still kind of a family. We talk about it and kind of decide, but day to day, almost every decision I'm I'm leading up on. So we've went through a lot. We've had a lot of ups. We've had a lot of downs. But, you know, it's been rewarding.
You know, a lot of folks listening to this may be younger and either wanting to get into farming or they may have the opportunity to take more of a leadership role. Speak to what it was like being young, coming back into this. Certainly you've been around it, but are there any things that you are glad you did or that you would change as you took on that leadership role to manage the operation?
Well, so kind of how I guess I would say I took over the farm, I had, thankfully, my dad was pretty well known in the farming community, and I had several contacts I was able to reach out to for questions. And I will say there was a lot of trial and error and cross your fingers, hoped it worked. And I will say to somebody younger than me, you can't always look at, you know, the dauntingness of it. Some things you've just got to kind of stick your neck out. And if you believe in it, mostly things will work out. Or, you know, you just got to be able to pivot. And if it doesn't work, try to make it work maybe another way. Or I would say things I would do different. I don't have just a whole lot that I necessarily would just do completely different. I learned from my mistakes, and some of them I don't want to make again, but, you know, it always seemed to work out. I could always, if today was a bad day, you could always go home and at the end of the day, and, you know, you got to restart and try again. So there was a lot of that went on.
We haven't told folks yet about your farm. You may want to describe the operation and what you grow there. You've got some good fertile land in the Delta, correct?
Yeah, so we're in Northeast Arkansas. We grow cotton, soybeans, corn, rice, and some winter wheat, just depending on how the prices are and how things fall. So, but we're all row crop farm, almost. I'm going to say half to three quarter is either furrow irrigated or pivot irrigated. It's pretty well as flat as a board around here. So,
with that crop mix, are you changing the number of acres you have based on the economics right now, or do you tend to stay relatively the same with the percentages of those crops?
So I try to rotate our land just for, you know, try to improve the quality of the soil and, you know, put back what we can. But, you know, we're with furrow irrigation, we can move things and we can kind of grow what we want to. So there's a lot of rotation schedule on the land, but we can adjust for, if there's a better price, we can adjust for that, and plant a few more acres or certain things like that. So we're not, I guess, like a whole lot of Midwestern where you know you're going to have, you know, cotton, or not cotton, corn and soybeans year over year. We've got a little more flexibility.
Right, right. You purchased an old grain elevator, is that right, to help
That's
you
correct.
With marketing? Explain that.
So in 22, we bought we had some terrible basis due to the Mississippi River being historic lows. It got to the point that we would have lost $1.60 just to drive on the scales. So we're 30 miles from the river, so we always pull it straight out of the field and carry it to the river. And during that time, we saw such a loss that I started making phone calls trying to find grain storage rentable, and everybody was in the same boat. You know, a lot of farms, I would say, sent a good percentage straight to the river just to not have to handle it. And then with that going on, everybody said, well, we'll just hold all we can till we fill up. So there was no storage to rent. And so I started making phone calls and found a retired, left, I don't know what you want to call it, neglected grain facility. And we went in it. I made some phone calls, and I think it was 7 days, 10 days, we were back to using it. It hadn't been turned on in, I think, 4 years. Before then, it had ran for 20 years. And it was, before then, it had been a co-op, per se. It was called Farmer Soybean. And we bought it, got some grain in it, you know, got some relief that year. And the next year, we went in and pretty well modernized it. We put grain sensors in the storage facility, kind of mechanized everything. We've got it all pretty well. I can run it all off a touchscreen. It's almost 750,000 bushels of storage, and it was built in 1946, so it's pretty wild. It's actually so old that a guy I was talking to, he said that it was state-of-the-art in 1945 because they were still riveting tanks together. So welding was new to weld tanks together. So it's kind of crazy that far back. You know, it was state-of-the-art then. So anyways, but it's been a huge relief. Just as far as efficiency on our farm, we can run as late as we want to run. We don't have to worry about the river. You know, we can carry in the market. We can play the market game a whole lot more. It's been a huge advancement in our farm.
I'm interested right now with margins being tighter. Is that changing anything you're doing, whether it is cutting back on inputs or lessening the amount of equipment or trying to lessen up any debt? Or we have this conversation a lot with different folks about getting through a little bit leaner times, especially on this crop side.
Yeah. I've heard this before, and I feel like we are too. You know, we had a few years of some relief and kind of got back under our feet, you know, from just being behind from years past, and now we're back to it again. We conventional farm. There's not much no-till and strip-till. We're looking to that a little more, just trying to see what we can get by with for this year. There's just, we've tried to do a few little things, not just a whole lot, just because we've kind of been lean for a few years around our area, I'll say. So I can't point my finger as to one, just this is what we're doing to cut cost. We're just trying to skim here and, you know, well, that field's pretty well, you know, flat. We think we can plant on it. We're trying to fertilize, maybe stretch it a year, just because every year we try to maintain, you know, a same amount of fertilizer. So we're, some fields that we think there's enough to handle, we'll try to be a little lean there too. So
part of your ground is rented, and a lot of folks are always trying to rent ground, and then if they have it rented, worried about maybe keeping that ground or keeping it affordable. Anything you've learned on the rental side to have good relationships and keep that ground so that you can farm it in the future?
Yes, we have. We try to keep up with our landlords. Thankfully, we own quite a few acres, but we have about that many acres with landlords. One thing we kind of do is we try to inform them, okay, you know, hey, we planted today. This is, you know, you're taken care of. This is kind of what's going on. We just kind of keep them in the operation if they choose to. Some people don't, but we don't want them to feel like we don't care about them or don't want to have their best interest. I don't want to be a farm that tries to pull ground from other farmers, so we just try to do as best a job as possible with our landlords and try to have the best, you know, relationship with them that we can have. It's been rewarding. They're confident in us, and that's a good thing.
the part of the country you are in, that ground I'm sure can be pretty valuable. Is it coming up for sale very often, or is it in pretty solid hands, so to speak, down there in the Delta?
So yes and no. Recently ground comes up for sale, but I will say a majority of the ground, if it comes up for sale, we don't hear about it till it's already sold. A lot of it is rented ground, and the farmers are just going to say, well, I'll just buy it. There's just not a lot that, you know, truly goes up for auction, and it's just a bid highest price kind of scenario. A lot of it is internal, and you don't hear about it till it's done.
Right. Your labor situation, I think people would be interested in. You have used H2A, I think, quite a bit, but talk about the mix of labor you've got there.
So we've got 7 full-time, 1 part-time. Our part-time guy is just during harvest mainly, just to help us get everything out of the field and then from the bin to the river. We've also got 3 American workers, and they've been here 20, I think our shortest guy's 20 years. And then we've also having such trouble getting good help. We moved to using H2A work, and it's been a huge blessing on our farm. Just having good help, having good people. You know, I've got a good crew of guys that care about their job, care about what they're doing. And that's a good thing to have on an operation. You know, I'm trying to be as efficient as possible and not cut people out of our farm, but I just don't want to have an excessive amount of people. I want to have bigger equipment and less people, or, you know, just expand my acres to fit the role of the amount of people I have. So they've been great, all of them that we've had have came from a farming background, and it's really been nice. You know, they really do everything we need to have done, and I always tell them, you know, I won't ask you to do anything I wouldn't do, but it may not always be the most fun. So, but they've been great.
Any certain location that most of them have come from?
So all of my guys come from South Africa, and they can speak perfect English. I mean, it's just like having another guy, only they care to be here and they care about what you're doing, and, you know, they try their hardest just like we do.
That program, H2A, any differences as we moved from one presidential administration to another, or is it seem to be pretty stable right now and you aren't worried about that pipeline at all?
So they have expressed some scarcity, but as far as our pipeline to get them approved and to do everything, we've not seen any change whatsoever. I think there may be some worry coming next year. They're talking about closing an embassy in South Africa, and I think that's going to cause some panic, but I don't, on our end, we haven't seen any change.
Talk to you the equipment side for just a moment. How are you keeping up without breaking the bank in these days? Or is this the time in which you say, hey, let's make some trades because things have backed off a little bit and maybe this is the time to go do something different on the equipment side?
So we, like I said, we are trying to do, you know, the most we can with less equipment. I'll say it that way. I want to run as big of a piece of equipment as we can handle on our size operation. You know, we went to a 46 foot field cultivator that we used to only run like 30s. And we've bought a quad track tractor, that we've always just had front wheel assist tractors. So, you know, I would love to gear more towards just large equipment and, you know, do that kind of thing. But we have been looking, just trying to fit the scenario for, you know, the upcoming future.
Right. Talk about the future. What do you see down the road? You're still fairly young into this, even though you've been doing it for a while. So where is the farm headed for the future?
Well, like any farm, I think we want to try to increase acres and, you know, and do it at a profitable scenario. We don't want to just farm. I don't want to just farm to say I farm more acres. You know, I want to do it and be profitable. But, you know, we try to do as much with technology as we can. We use soil moisture sensors. We have pump automation on all of our wells. So I can kind of control everything off my phone or at the office, or if it comes to rain at 2 a.m, I can shut everything off. So that's a huge blessing. Or if it's too far away and I don't want to drive, I can click my phone and it's a done deal. But we're looking, over the winter bought a drone. So we're going to see how that works out and how beneficial it is on our farm. I'm positive towards it. I know there may be some negativity, just, you know, how efficient is it and how well is it going to work? I think with the technology today, I think they're finally to where they're cost effective. I think the future for that type of technology is going to increase, and I think there's going to be other uses. But I would say as a broad for the future, you know, I like the tech. I like to see what's kind of going on and new. I'm excited as a whole.
With that drone, using it for spot spraying, or what are you going to be using it mostly for?
So my main use with it is going to be like after a rain, if I don't get the rest of my cotton sprayed, or if I've got to do something, you know, with insecticides or fungicide, you know, that's where this drone is going to kick in and take place of maybe using an airplane, or, you know, if I just need to get a bunch of acres covered. I've also got a ground rig that we use. So it's mainly we're using it as a supplemental tool and somewhat as a cost savings.
You were recently announced as a winner there at the Top Producer Conference. I'm just interested in what you kind of set you apart. I know that perhaps you don't know the competition that was out there, but certainly there were things that they saw in you to give you that award here just a few months ago.
Yeah, it's been very rewarding. You know, we just try every day to be a little better than the day before and just do right, treat others how we want to be treated. And, you know, we just try to be effective with our time and be efficient and do what's best for the land. And, you know, hopefully we're rewarded at the end.
Your outlook on this year, we never know what the weather may bring us. We are in those times of tighter margins, as we have mentioned. So what's your outlook, and then looking to do anything different this year in the operation?
Well, we're going to have a few more acres of corn. That seems like it's on paper the better scenario in a gloom year. But I'm excited for the future. I'm excited for the year. I think it's going to kind of be one of those we hope that we can get through. And, you know, obviously every year we enjoy the farm because that's the lifestyle we're in. But I think at the end of the day it's going to be a break-even year. I want to be upbeat about it, but I'm hope that that's where we're in the same boat we are this year, come next year.
Has the cotton continued to remain an important part of what you're doing, and can you maintain the margins on it as well?
Yeah, it's very, very lean. We used to be majorly a cotton farm. At one point, I think we had almost 5,000 acres of cotton. We're down to about 1,500, just year over year. We used to have, fairly large stake in a cotton gin that we don't anymore. So we don't necessarily have to feed a gin. So that's kind of been a step back in our cotton farming scenario.
Dalton, I've enjoyed the time to visit with you, and, hope that you have a good season. You've endured some rough weather, so maybe things will even out now.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. Hopefully we'll catch some dry weather and can get back in the field pretty soon.
Thanks for joining me on this week's show. Remember, you can follow Farming the Countryside and our daily show, American Countryside, on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Just type in Farming the Countryside or American Countryside to find those social media pages. And if you miss one of these Farming the Countryside programs, it's easy to go back and listen to past episodes. Just go to farmingthecountryside.com or use your favorite podcast platform to find past shows and topics of interest as well. That's it for this week's show. I hope you're having good spring weather. We were able to get into the field and begin planting some corn and soybeans. I hope your spring is off to a good start as well. I'm Andrew McRae. I'll catch you next time on Farming the Countryside. This edition of Farming the Countryside is brought to you by ProFarmer. Information to help farmers make profitable decisions. Go to ProFarmer.com.
Nobody gave those cows the weekend off. For them, Saturday's just another day. This morning's edition of Agriculture Today is up next after this quick break.
This program is brought to you by Kubota. Turn to Monroe Tractor for all your Kubota equipment needs. Located in Springville and North Java. Learn more online at MonroeTractor.com.
It's Kubota Orange Days. From America's number one selling compact tractor to zero-turn mowers and versatile RTVs, get your perfect match delivered to your door. Now through June 30th, get zero down, 0% APR for 84 months, or up to $3,500 off BX23S tractors. See the details at KubotaOrangeDays.com. Turn to Monroe Tractor and Implement for all your Kubota equipment needs. Located in Springville and North Java, or find them online at MonroeTractor.com. Now through December 31st, see us or go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
This is something that the members themselves have to decide.
Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala is Director General of the World Trade Organization on whether a meeting should be called among members over tariffs.
As you know, WTO is a very interesting organization. It's actually member-driven. So it's the members who have to decide whether they want to have particular meetings or get-togethers or take particular actions. And as we speak, the General Council Chair has been consulting with members to see what they would like to do, whether they would indeed want to go for such a meeting or not. So that is ongoing as we speak. And we will get the results when the General Council Chair has finished his consultations. What I do know is that members are talking to each other in different groups and configurations. And they are trying to... One of the very important things that has come out, as I said in my remarks, is the fact that members now more than ever appreciate the stability and predictability of the multilateral trading system and the WTO, the rules that make this possible for businesses to be able to trade with some predictability. We have calculated that in spite of these tariffs, we still have 74% of world trade under most favored nation terms, and they absolutely want to find ways to maintain that. So I know they are talking to each other. The EU is reaching out to certain groups. New Zealand is reaching out to other groups. Singapore and Switzerland got together a group of friends of the system, and they're all talking about the same thing. How do we collaborate with each other to strengthen and safeguard the rules within the 87% of world trade? US is 13% of world trade, so 87% is going on among other members. And I know they are also talking about how do we strengthen and safeguard that whilst trying to reform those things that don't work within the system. I think you saw my remarks. One of the lessons is that accepting that we need to reposition the WTO, reform it, and redynamize it. And they're also talking about that.
Says the organization moves slow by design.
When I talk about decision-making processes, I'm not saying we walk away. I'm not a member. Remember, I'm the DG. It is members who have to decide how they want to do this. But we also need to admit that the decision-making processes are not getting results as fast as they should. And something, we need to work on this. So it will be up to members. I think everybody treasures the consensus. I'm often proud that this is one organization where the smallest member has the same clout and voice as the largest. But it does result in a slowdown in decision-making, sometimes tie-up in decision-making. When we can deliver something, we don't deliver it as fast as we could. So we need to tackle this and say, how do we refine what we have and make it more workable? That's what I mean, and I think it's one of the reforms we need to look at. But members have to focus on this and decide on it.
And on the idea African countries could be forced to choose sides.
I strongly believe that what I hear from African ministers is they want to pursue a balanced development. I don't think any of them wants to be made to take sides. And since many of them are also small economies, this is of great concern. And that is why I stated my concern about the possibility of fragmentation and polarization of trade in blocks. The countries do not, they want to pursue a balanced approach. That's my answer to that.
It's Agriculture Today.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare...
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airlines. Travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. That's 800-298-0306.
Moving right along with the Saturday edition of the CJ Agribusiness Report. Tom Cassidy and Tim Slezarczyk are waiting patiently to bring you this morning's edition of the Ag Radionet Farm News. The guys will be along right after these messages.
When it comes to keeping your tractor or farm equipment running smoothly, there's only one reliable choice. Genuine AGCO parts from Jaba Farm Supply. Maintain peak winter performance and prepare for spring with genuine AGCO parts. Filters, lubricants, and more. There's no better way to insure against costly downtime than using parts engineered and tested by the same people who built the original equipment. Visit JabaFarmSupply.com today to find thousands of authentic AGCO parts for all AGCO brands, including Massey Ferguson, Challenger, Fendt, and more. AGCO parts from Jabo Farm Supply. Genuine parts, genuine service, genuine reliability.
This is the Ag Radio Network Farm News. I'm Tom Cassidy with Tim Slezarczyk.
A new tool for nutrient management planners is available. Technical service providers and certified crop advisors are able to use this site risk for water quality tool in order to evaluate the risk for nutrient loss on farm fields. On farms, nutrients like nitrogen and phosphorus are the building blocks for plant growth and production, with nutrient management requiring a custom plan to help minimize nutrient runoff from fields into local waterways. USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service works with producers to develop nutrient management plans, protecting water quality and saving money on fertilizer. Conservation planners use site-specific nitrogen and phosphorus planting thresholds for leaching and runoff within the Conservation Assessment Ranking Tool to help producers protect their water quality. Those same planning thresholds now publicly available with the new Geographic Information System Site Risk for Water Quality Tool. The significant differences between and within fields for nutrient loss in both leaching and runoff. NRCS National Nutrient Management Specialist Tim Pilkowski says the new tool can help planners visualize how nutrient management can be more effectively integrated with other conservation practices in order to protect water quality. By implementing the 4 R's of nutrient stewardship, the right source, the right method, the right rate, and the right timing, NRCS can help producers reduce nutrient losses from their fields. More intense nutrient management, optimizing all 4 R's to better match crop needs, can greatly reduce excess nutrients that could leach and run off into ground and water surfaces.
Quality feed! Margins!
Road activity!
Even your herd knows what's important to you.
All dairy farmers, our top priority at John Deere is keeping your animals healthy and productive. With our technology, you can reduce overlaps, track nutrient content of your forage, and reduce downtime. We have the solutions to help feed and care for your herd. To learn more, talk to your local John Deere dealer today.
Seed Innovation Protection Alliance seed company members invest 15% of sales into new seed innovations for your cereal acres. Check the bag for certified seed or single-use agreement restrictions so you don't step over the line. Or talk to your seed dealer. Plant breeders develop better, stronger genetics for your farm. So let's reinvest together to improve yields and quality. Without your patronage and trust, seed companies wouldn't be able to continually develop new genetics, traits, seed treatments, and other innovations to meet your needs.
USDA Secretary Rollins laid out some major restructuring plans, including layoffs and relocation of staff to some new hubs. Relocate employees to these three new regional hubs across the country, according to several sources familiar with the plan. The exact locations yet to be finalized. Along with the relocation, the department is anticipating widespread layoffs, though the specific number of job cuts remains unclear. The layoffs expected to occur late this month or early next. Some employees have been informed that the department plans to return to staffing levels seen in fiscal year 2019, potentially leading to a reduction of around 9,000 of USDA's 98,000 employees. Others have been told the departments will make proportional cuts as part of a broader federal workforce reduction strategy that's been developed by the administration. Department declined to comment on specifics, but previously outlined these types of changes during Secretary's first day in office, USDA emphasizing its goal would be to optimize workforce by eliminating positions deemed unnecessary, bringing more employees back to the office, and moving staff out of the National Capital Region to support rural communities. A return to 2019 staffing levels would result in a 23% cut for Natural Resources Conservation Service, saw a staffing boost after receiving funding through the Inflation Reduction Act. Similarly, U.S. Forest Service, planning to consolidate its 9 regional offices to as few as 3, could close some of its 5 research stations.
And now another episode of One Soil to Live.
I just can't let you keep treating it like dirt, Claude.
Well, you know I don't mean to, Samantha. It's just
It's just what? You don't know it's alive?
Well,
it is alive. And if you want to get the most out of it, you'll follow these 4 principles to keep it healthy and functioning.
All right, Samantha. I'm listening.
First, keep it covered and keep living roots in it throughout the year with diverse plants and rotations. And finally, disturb it as little as possible.
And if I do as you say, Samantha...
If you do, Claude, I have a feeling it'll be the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
There's an amazing amount of life in healthy soil. More importantly, that life can help make our nation's farms more productive, profitable, and resilient. Contact your local USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service office today and learn more about the basics and benefits of soil health. This message brought to you by USDA and this radio station.
It pays to plan your ag taxes throughout the year to pay less at the end of the year. Call the Ag Tax Specialists at Farm Credit East. Made in agriculture.
This is the Ag Radio Network Farm News, a voice for farmers of the Northeast.
Hi everyone, it's your Wyoming County Dairy Ambassador, Izusha Peck, and I've got a question for you. Are you passionate about agriculture and the dairy industry? Wyoming County is seeking an individual, either male or female, 16 or older, to compete for the role of Dairy Ambassador for the 2025-2026 year. As an ambassador, you'll represent the dairy industry, educate your community on sustainable farming, promote dairy nutrition, and support local farmers. This role offers leadership experience and valuable skills you'll use throughout your entire life. If you're interested, please reach out via Facebook at Wyoming County Dairy Promotion or Instagram at 2024 Dairy Ambassador to get an application.
Beadworks USA has always been your source for nutritional solutions. Now, they offer a complete line of electrolytes, Beadworks Lights for Calves, in a convenient 10-dose resealable bag. Beadworks Lights for Calf Ranch, for everyday calves still on milk. Beadworks Lights for Cattle, for any weaned calf, heifer, or cow. Water is critical for your animal's good health and even survival. It accounts for 98% of all molecules in the animal. The Lights line is designed to help keep them hydrated. Give us a call at 1-866-737-6273 or find us on the web at beetrootsusa.com.
Ever miss a farm show or want to hear something again? We keep a week's worth waiting for you on our webpage. Go to WCJW.com, then click on the Agribusiness tab to find the past seven shows. You're welcome. We're going to step aside for a message or two. Then it's Bill Baker and Dairy Rewind.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
For four generations, more residents have relied on Ed Hume Incorporated for all their building and renovating needs, whether it's construction, site development, home improvement, blacktop, ponds, or other projects. Their team is up for any challenge in front of them. Ed Hume Construction has two gravel pits in Wyoming County loaded with screened and crushed gravel, topsoil, scalpings, millings, stone products, and more. There isn't a job too big to handle. Call 786-5880 to see what else Ed Hume can do for you. Or stop in 17 East Buffalo Street in Warsaw.
This is Dairy Rewind, a look back at what happened this week in the dairy industry. Milky Monday.
Dave Krasowski, Stonex Dairy Group broker in Chicago. Dave, we had quite a week last week with respect to what I've dubbed the Trump tariff tit for tat. Things were changing almost by the hour, and by the time this airs on Monday, what we recorded late last week may already be wrong. What are your thoughts?
Yes, I'm hopeful this does air. You know what I mean? It feels so uncertain. The world feels so uncertain this past few weeks. And I think that's really the situation. And it's mostly on the outside markets. All, you know, dairy and really food commodities generally have been rather stable throughout this entire process of, you know, the tariff wars or trade wars, however you want to characterize it. But what I would tell you is markets overall, they want certainty. You know, they want some kind of a plan. They want some kind of a process in place. And without it, you can see what happens. You know, markets just, you know, crumble.
Tuesday,
we hear from Jake Pulfer, a prescribed fire coordinator with Pheasants Forever, Inc. And how long has prescribed burning been around?
So prescribed fire has actually been around in one form or another for more than 10,000 years. In order to survive, they noticed that it brought around certain crops of food, like raspberries, blueberries. It also helped control brush and keep woodlands and forests more open so that it allowed for easy hunting access.
He discusses why prescribed burns on the farm are so important.
There's a real need for us to increase the amount of acreage that is getting burned in the state of Wisconsin annually. And I think that, you know, we've mentioned the kind of the community aspect that can come around to help get these fires done. And one of the most emergent ways that that's kind of happening here in Wisconsin is with prescribed burn associations.
Wednesday.
Well, stress is all around us. And we may not experience stress every day, but our animals can. So for the stress response, the first step is perception of stress. So if we're talking, for example, a calf seeing a predator such as a dog or a coyote, it's going to sense that stress, and it's going to elicit a reaction within the body. And so the higher brain centers are going to perceive the stress, and these hormones then send a signal through the blood to the adrenal gland that sits on top of our kidneys. And this results in the production of the stress hormone cortisol. Cortisol is probably one of the most well-known stress hormones. It's one that's typically discussed. And depending on various factors, such as breed and gender or sex, we can see different effects. Stress can be alleviated in many different ways. The first, management, looking at our different processes, our handling of our cattle, and making sure that we're using calm animal handling and movement. And if there's any other factors that we can do that may alleviate even psychological stressors, such as shadows and things like that.
Thursday.
We're here with Eric Paulson, who is the Executive Secretary of Virginia State Dairymen's Association. For those listening to us who don't know what Virginia State Dairymen's Association is, give us a little background.
Absolutely. We're a member organization, so we're representing dairy farmers across Virginia, mainly focusing on state level. We do some federal as well. We're a voluntary organization. We're funded by a set-aside program, so our dues are based on what milk prices are. So as milk prices go up, so do dues. But then conversely, when milk prices drop, our dues drop. And dairy farmers like that. They like to feel that there's some skin in the game, that unlike a checkoff where it's a straight level no matter what milk prices are, these fall in raise with milk prices, and our dairy farmers appreciate that.
Where does that revenue go to? What do you support with that?
Yeah, so part of it goes to support our dairy science programs down at Virginia Tech. Part of it goes to support the Dairy Foundation, which has a lot of scholarships, 4-H, FFA sponsorships. And then about 45% of it goes to support VSDA. So that could be anything from lobbying down the General Assembly to our initiatives with milk dispensers in schools, work with education, public outreach.
Friday.
Welcome to today's Feed Forum, and our topic is going to be looking at low forage rations. And our listeners may wonder, well, why would we talk about low forage diets? Well, we can have such things as drought, and we know that happens in the western part of the United States, flooding happening right now here in the U.S. That can also reduce the forage inventory in the farm. In some respects, just the cost of forages makes it very expensive to put in the feeding program. And then, of course, forage quality would be a factor, and also forage hygiene, which means how clean is that forage in terms of soil contamination as well. When we look at forages, we know that our take-home effects is that certainly if you're going to be faced with low forage diets, we're going to really monitor such things as starch and sugar levels in the feeding program and be aware of rumen acidosis. Well, that completes the program for today. Thanks. Hey, have a great day.
And that's Dr. Mike Hutchins. To listen to more, go to dairyradio.com.
Dairy Rewind.
Burt's Lumber and Perry has everything you'll need to make the most out of your outdoor living space. Grass seed and weed and feed to make your lawn the envy of the neighborhood. Mulch, landscaping stones, wood timbers, and trellises to get your flower beds and gardens looking great. And Burt's has lots of pressure-treated lumber and composite decking, plus all the lawn, garden, and power tools you'll need to complete your projects. Hey, summer is too short, so get to Burt's Lumber and improve your outdoor living space. Burt's Lumber and Perry, open 7 days a week, including Sundays, 9 to 1.
We know you put your Coon Knight equipment to work, and it may be in need of some extra attention. Make sure to inspect bearings, knives, hammers, and other high wear parts to keep your machine running at its best. Genuine Coon Knight parts, proudly made in the USA, are now available at Kelly's Garage, your Coon Knight dealer in Perry. Invest in quality with original Coon Knight parts designed specifically for your machine. Stop in or call 237-2504 for more information today.
I'm ready. Let me just grab my bag. Sweatpants, huh? Didn't know we were keeping it casual this month. Yeah, I feel bloated every now and then.
You have to try new Align 3-in-1 Biotic Gummies. They have prebiotics to nourish good bacteria, probiotics to help relieve occasional bloating, and postbiotics for immune support.
All that in one gummy?
Yep. So no sweatpants next time?
Not anymore.
Align 3-in-1 Biotic Gummies for gut health support.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
We're working our way through the Saturday edition of the CJ Agribusiness Report. In just a moment, we'll check the latest forecast after this brief break.
Brought to you by Upstate Niagara Cooperative, farmer-owned by 260 family dairy farms, producing top-quality conventional and organic milk at the farm level that leads to award-winning finished dairy products. Bison dip, Upstate Farms yogurt, sour cream, cottage cheese, and fluid milk. Home to Intense Milk and their lactose-free Milk for Life, all produced with their care for their cows and commitment to their community. For today, breezy and warm with showers and possibly a thunderstorm, the high up near 70 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy with scattered showers, mainly before 8 p.m., low right around 36. Easter Sunday, mostly sunny, the high near 53. And Monday, mostly cloudy with a chance of morning showers, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms midday, then showers likely and possibly a thunderstorm in the afternoon, the high Monday near 68. We're at 65 degrees outside CJ Country Studios. I'm Steve Wapper with your CJ weather forecast.
Upgrade your outdoor experience with the Ventrac Compact Tractor. This robust tractor has the power and productivity to tackle your toughest outdoor jobs and do them well. With over 30 versatile attachments to do everything from mowing, snow removal, trenching, soil prep, and more, Ventrac is your year-round tractor. Its compact size and agility make it perfect for navigating tight spaces and difficult terrain with ease. Call Larry Romance and Son in Arcade, Sheridan, and Woodhull at 499 592-3810 today to schedule your demo.
So there's skim milk, a.k.a. fat-free. There's 1% and 2%. Ever wonder why there isn't a 3%? Well, being a nerdy mom, I do. And you know what? There is one. That's right. It's called whole milk. Whole milk only has 3% milk fat, which, when you think about it, and I do, is not a lot of fat at all. And did you know that no matter what cow's milk you prefer, they all have 8 grams of protein? Of course, it is wonderful we have so many alternatives, but many nut and plant-based milk substitutes don't meet the nutritional levels naturally contained in dairy. And I'm not big on thickeners, flavorings, or added sugars. Bottom line, cow's milk is still the gold standard when it comes to nutrition. So sure, I'm a nerdy mom, but I love my cows. I mean, kids, I love my kids.
Milk for nerdy moms and just about everyone. Brought to you by Milk for Health on the Niagara Frontier, the guys and gals with the cows.
A look into the markets here at the end of the day on Thursday, April the 17th. I'm Remington Ricketts. Starting with Wall Street and S&P 500 in the green at 5282, the Dow down at 391.42, and NASDAQ in the red as well at 162.86. Bitcoin higher, gold lower, euro slightly higher. Over to the energy's futures prices, crude oil West Texas Intermediate May contract ending the day in the green at $64.38, June higher as well at $63.70, July $63.05. Gasoline higher, nat gas higher, crude oil higher. Over to the grains futures prices, corn May contract 2 even lower on the day at $4.82 and a quarter, July down as well at $4.90 and a quarter, and December $4.66 even. Soybean lower, soybean meal lower, soybean oil higher. Wheat May contract 1 even higher at $5.48 and three quarters, July in the green as well at $5.62 and a quarter, and December $5.98 even. Hard red winter wheat May 5.57 and a half, trading slightly lower on the day, July in the red as well at 5.70 even. Spring wheat May 6.06 and a quarter, 2 and a half higher at the end of the day, July in the green as well at 6.19 and a quarter. So we switch over to the cotton, May contract 53 cents higher on the day at 66.32, July at 67.13, and October 68.80. Finishing with the livestock and dairy futures, live cattle June 204.07, 2 even higher on the day, August in the green at 212, and October 198.32. Feeder cattle May 286.85, 245 higher on the day, August trading higher at 290.87, and September 289.57. Lean hogs higher, pork cutout higher, class 3 milk higher.
Everything is expensive right now. Gas, food, you name it. You're spending more, you're making the same or less money. So, what do? You rack up credit card debt, that's what you do. It's not your fault. It's the economy. And guess what? If you rack up too much credit card debt like some of us, you can't pay your bills. Then the credit card companies, as nice as they are, start hounding you for money. Then you start your downward spiral. A smart thing for you to do is to call the Zero Debt. They can help you consolidate all your credit card bills into one affordable payment. Millions of people have done it. It works to make you debt-free. Make this free call right now. It costs you nothing to learn more.
800-725-5682. 800-725-5682. 800-725-5682. That's 800-725-5682.
Thanks for listening to the CJ Country Agribusiness Report. Catch it every Monday through Saturday starting at 5 a.m. And stand by for Western New York's Morning Show next on CJ Country.